It's time to talk about Oregon and USC. Ducks in bounce-back mode after the horrible finish at UCLA. Trojans on a five-game win streak after routing Oregon State. He's the voice of USC basketball, a guy many of you are familiar with from his time calling Eugene M's games. Always fun to welcome back Chris Fisher. Chris Fish, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. We're kind of making a routine out of this now. This is the second time you guys have had me on.
Yeah, and by the way,
I get comfortable with that.
Okay, the first four wins of this streak were all settled by less than double digits. You know, there was doubt down the stretch, but last night at the Galen Center, kind of quick and painless, up 17 at the half, win by 26. And while we get the Beavs are kind of the Pac-12 dumpster fire, nice to cruise to a win, get the bench some action, and maybe limit the minutes of the big guns.
That's actually a really good observation by you guys, because we have not been able to put teams away really all year long, even going back to non-conference play when we have really had a superior roster. And a lot of that is kind of the absence of Benny Boatwright in putting a lot more pressure on more players to kind of step up. And then we had guys who were in a bad shooting slump, Elijah Stewart, Shaquan Aaron, they just could not put the ball in the bottom of the basket. So we were having a hard time getting separation in games, and Andy Enfield was having a limited roster with the absence of Benny Boatwright and even Charles Buggs kind of being out. So he was only playing, you know, seven guys for the majority of the season, and guys were playing big minutes. And it kind of showed up, and it, you know, we won two games during that stretch of shooting like 38% from the field. And you're not going to separate from anybody when you're not knocking down shots consistently. And I think that that started to happen. And, of course, getting Benny back, who is probably our best player and one of our most important players, I think it's taken a lot of the pressure off for guys like Jordan McLaughlin and Elijah Stewart and even Jonah Matthews, who came off the bench against Washington State and poured in 18 points. So everybody's now starting to kind of fill into the roles that were expected in the beginning of the season.
You know, you mentioned Boatwright. For those who don't know, he missed essentially 2 months with an MCL sprain, returned against the Huskies on the first. Since then, averaging 17 points, four boards per game. What has his return meant for this team as it's kind of getting into the stretch run?
Well, it's done so much offensively and defensively. And I think we've brought it up once a game, at least on the broadcast, of the difference that he can make. Obviously, he's so talented. He's a matchup nightmare. He's 6'10". He plays the four. He can stretch a defense, get out behind the three-point line, knock down threes. You just have to really honor every part of his game. But one of the things that I really learned here in these last couple of games is what it does for us defensively in us being able to play a better man-to-man. Andy Enfield was really relying on the zone almost 40% of the time because we just couldn't defend the post. We couldn't defend frontline players, and so we would go into this zone and just, you know, at times have Elijah Stewart try to defend a four. But with Benny back, we've seen him get down in the post, and we can actually defend truly based off of our personnel. That's one difference. And really, just he hasn't been able to showcase his game and his improvement from his freshman year to his sophomore year. And we all know that he can shoot, but this year his assists are way up, and we're starting to see him handle the ball a little more, but distribute the basketball a little more, which would make him just an even bigger weapon because, you know, freshman and he at times was kind of a black hole with the basketball last season. And we're starting to see him really distribute the basketball, particularly to Chimezie Metu. And those two got a nice little rhythm going. So it's kind of fun to see.
Talking with Chris Fisher, the voice of USC Hoops, I read a piece in the Times, Zach Helflin, about fan support. The UCLA game a sellout, but last night about 4,000. Only Washington and Stanford drawing more poorly in the Pac-12. Is it just a matter of time and Andy Enfield, establishing a winning program? How would you evaluate the current fan support for this Trojan basketball team?
Yeah, this is something that is starting to get discussed a little more now. And what is it ultimately going to take for this program to get the attention again of the fan base? And, you know, everybody knows that USC is primarily a football school. It always has been. And the basketball program doesn't have a rich history and tradition and winning and getting to the NCAA tournament and having success. What I always like to go back to is what Tim Floyd had going sort of in the mid to late 2000s when they went to the NCAA tournament three straight times, made a couple of runs, and went to the Sweet 16 in 2007. And they built Galen Center, and the fans were coming, and there was a buzz about the program, and they were getting high-level recruits. So I've always had this belief that it can get to a high level. Now, the thing about this team and this program is they had to come from so low to where everybody had written off the program and it was in a really bad, dark place. I'm not sure if the fans really know how good USC is, and I think that they have to do something big. I think that they have to do something like going to the Sweet 16 or making some noise when college basketball really becomes front and center, which is the NCAA tournament. They're 21-4. They've already matched the win total from last season. But I don't think people really know how good this team is. And it's still kind of flying under the radar. And UCLA is getting all the buzz and all the publicity here in Southern California because of Lonzo Ball and the success that they're having over there in Westwood. So this program needs to do something in March when really college basketball becomes front and center. And that's what I've tried to, unfortunately, tell the coaching staff and kind of tell people around this program, because it's better than people realize, and there's so much potential, and it can get so much better.
You know, on that topic of the rivalry with UCLA, this USC team has, you know, kind of been in the bottom portion of the top 25 or on the verge of it all season. UCLA still getting all of that attention. This despite, you know, USC has won four straight over UCLA, including a few weeks ago. Trojans have less star power, certainly. You mentioned that. But, you know, a head-to-head win, only one game separates them in the standings right now. They play again on the 18th. You know, maybe not would, but should another win over the Bruins give USC the trophy as the best team in L.A.?
Well,
it's weird to think about,
trophy,
but look at the numbers, you know?
I know that it's meant a lot to this program and the success, and it's been a good rivalry. You know, UCLA stormed onto the scene with that win at Kentucky back in it was either November, December in non-conference, which really thrusted them into the forefront, and rightfully so. They had a huge non-conference slate, but there was something about the discourse about USC's non-conference schedule that just didn't impress a lot of people. I mean, you've got two teams tomorrow in Oregon and USC who are 21-4. One of them's ranked number 5 in the country, and another one is unranked.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just the perception of USC, and the Trojans just have had a hard time sort of cracking that perception, and they still have a little bit of work to do, despite a win over SMU, which is turning out to be really good, despite the win over UCLA in dominant fashion. I will say this, the Trojans match up really well against UCLA, and their athleticism and their length has just really given the Bruins problems going back to last season. So I know it's a game that USC doesn't fear. There's guys like Jordan McLaughlin and Elijah Stewart who are now juniors who have beaten UCLA four consecutive times. But I've always felt like it's really good for the city of L.A. that when these two teams are good and competing and battling, because they go back to even the 70s before any of us ever paid attention or I was around, and there is some history there. So it's good when they're both competing at a high level.
Yep. If you want to talk history, I'll tell folks, Google 1972, Paul Westfall,
yep.
USC, and UCLA with a guy named Walton, I believe. Talking USC hoops with the voice of the Trojans, Chris Fisher. You mentioned some of the vets. I'm always curious how the freshmen are progressing. DeAnthony Melton, Crespi High, Duck fans might recognize. Jaronis Grassou came from there, had a great game in the UCLA win. Chris, what kind of first year has he had, and how does number 22 contribute?
You know, this is one of the most unheralded freshman classes maybe in the country, and it has been one of the biggest producing freshman classes in the country. And DeAnthony Melton is a special, special player, and he is an absolute box score stuffer. I mean, he does everything for this team. Scoring, rebounding, distributing the basketball. He's leading the Pac-12 in steals. You just can't keep him off the court. He's one of the few players that is just so special and plays above his age. And another point for these guys and Jonah Matthews and Nick Rakosevic is that, you know, they were kind of thrust into roles that they weren't really ready for, I think, being true freshmen because of the absence of Benny Boatwright, but they have come in and contributed, and they've made us a better team defensively than we were a season ago, and they've just risen to the occasion despite being true freshmen, and we kind of expect that now with college basketball. But these guys were not top 100 recruits. They were not, you know, getting recruited by Arizona and Kentucky and Duke. But they have come in, and they've had success, and they've made us a much better team and a much better program. And if you guys get a chance to watch D'Anthony Melton, he is the least flashy player, but he does a little bit of everything, not just well, but really, really, really well. And he's just a great kid, was coached really well in high school. And he came in, and he was ready to play and ready to contribute, and he's done that.
You know, you mentioned Chimezie Metu earlier. USC completed its first conference road sweep since 2011 when they beat Washington State last week. In that game, Metu scored a career-high 29 to go along with 8 boards. He was basically a dunk machine last year. But what can you tell us about his game and the type of player he's developing into during his sophomore season this year?
Boy, his game has come a long way, and it has gone from being like, okay, this is really raw, and he's got some skills, but he just needs to spend a lot of time in the gym and refine those skills, and that's exactly what he did over the summer. And he was a gym rat. He lived in the gym with our assistant coach, Jason Hart, and now everything is getting showcased, from his dunks, his athleticism, to his spin moves, to his feet quickness, to his hook shot, to his mid-range jumper, to his free throws that have gone from in the 50% range into the 73-74% range. And it's starting to get the attention of some NBA scouts who are thinking that he's going to be a pretty good NBA player at some point. And Chimezie is a matchup nightmare. And there are teams in this conference that just cannot defend him. Colorado didn't have anybody in the post that could defend him. And he just had his way against Washington State. They didn't have anybody in the interior that could slow him down. So he's been a really bright spot for this team and played extremely well. He's got to get better defensively, but he's improved that game of that part of his game too, because last year he was just trying to go for shot block after shot block after shot block, and he stayed much more disciplined this season in being a kind of a post presence. So fun to see because, you know, USC's got a little history now with putting in some big guys in the NBA with Taj Gibson and Nikola Vucevic.
Usual information and insight extraordinaire. He's Chris Fisher. He'll be calling the action on ESPN LA 710 in SoCal. Chris, always great catching up. Have a great broadcast. We appreciate your time, and you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm really hoping that you guys have a lot to talk about on Monday about how the Ducks came up empty in Los Angeles.
Nice. That's all we need after last night, Chris. You're really helping push the envelope here.
Well, I was rooting for you guys last night. Come on.
Well, obviously, when we needed you most, you were obviously focused on other things, like the game you were calling.
Yeah, right. No, I had the game on my phone. I was trying to multitask.
Wow, nice. That's dedicated. Chris, you're the man, Chris. Hope you're well, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, guys. Anytime. Give me a buzz.
Take it easy.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, Chris Fisher.